This is a demo day. Think of it as a debutante ball for startup companies where founders meet their funders.
At the intersection of content,
social, or 200,000.
On the left side of your screen is San Francisco. On the right side, New York City. On the same day, on both coasts, a handful of entrepreneurs were trying to impress deep-pocketed investors in the audience and sell them on the idea that they were the next big thing.
At Order In, we are bringing about the most fundamental change to the restaurant industry since franchising in the 1950s.
We want to enable anyone, anywhere, to sell online, on any platform, with ease and simplicity and elegance.
If this were a typical group of startups, the odds against their survival would be very long. Most startups fail, and most investors are left holding the bag. However, these companies have already been marked for success because they've survived a kind of startup school known as a startup accelerator.
That's it, right? And that's all I need?
Yeah.
Accelerators are usually started by investors who want to mentor and profit from the next wave of internet companies. They're called accelerators in part because they try to shorten from 1 year to 3 months the time it takes a new business to learn its fundamentals. This 10-week-long program in San Francisco is called AngelPad. It was started by a group of ex-Google employees. When I walked through, I met a range of startups, including LendFriend, a site that helps friends lend money to one another. Co-founder Gino Moschetti.
Research estimates that loans between people who know each other in the United States is about $75 billion. We want a very sizable chunk of that market.
So I'm simply just going to open the app.
And another startup that helps you cut in line at restaurants. Evan Maddow co-founded TapViva.
So what am I looking at here?
So what we do is we facilitate mobile ordering and advanced point of sale for restaurants, cafes, and food trucks. So you have your phone in your pocket, your smartphone, your iPhone, your Android device. You order ahead, you skip the line, you don't have to wait in line. And the order shows up on an iPad that's in a restaurant in the kitchen in the back, and your food is prepared and you don't have to wait.
These 15 companies were whittled down from 2,000 applications for AngelPad's approval, which makes getting into an Ivy League school look easy. It also brings with it a certain cachet. Thomas Corta is the founder and managing partner of AngelPad.
So we look really for three things. Number one is we look for an amazing team, people that have a deep understanding of the problem that they're trying to solve. We're looking for technical people that can actually build and solve that problem by using technology. And the third one is we will look for founders and teams that show leadership, that can build interesting companies.
If we're just looking, comparing paper and stuff.
AngelPad staff members advise the startups on everything from products and design to customers and fundraising.
If one of our lawyers comes in to explain how the funding process works or what these legal documents look like, you know, he can do that once instead of 15 times individually.
In exchange, the AngelPad accelerator gets stock in each of the 15 companies.
The hottest young entrepreneurs, the best new ideas.
Accelerators have become so commonplace that there was even a reality TV show on Bloomberg Television.
It's a super red flag.
There's just a limit to how big it can be.
It highlighted the trials and tribulations of a batch of startups going through 3 months of the Techstars Accelerator program in New York.
This is Techstars.
Techstars has been around for 6 years. The program sifts through 3,000 applications to launch 50 companies a year in Boston, Seattle, New York, and Boulder, Colorado. David Cohen is a founder and says the key to getting accepted is not just having a great idea.
Someone might come in with the greatest idea in the world. That's the last thing we look at. It doesn't matter that much to us. We know that about half of the companies that go through Techstars are going to pivot, meaning they're going to change the business that they're going after. That's incredibly common, not just in this context, but in startups in general. So really, you're looking for people that have the right skills and the right passion, the motivations to do a great job, that are going to be, you know, respectful of the data and are going to make the changes they have to make to be successful.
Accelerators are springing up all over the world. Top-tier programs like SeedCamp in Europe and Y Combinator from the Bay Area launch dozens of companies. This summer, Y Combinator launched 63 startups in 1 day. Even Hollywood is seeing stars. Actor Ashton Kutcher was in the audience at that demo day, looking to invest. Recently, Leonardo DiCaprio and even his supermodel ex-girlfriend have made investments in tech startups. To some, when investing in startups becomes fashionable, it might mean there's a bubble.
I do worry that there is sort of a
an overcrowding effect, I guess, going on.
Wade Rausch is the San Francisco editor for Xconomy, a network of sites that cover innovation and entrepreneurship. He's covered startups for 15 years and says that the internet startup frenzy is back because the cost of technology keeps dropping.
Back in the 90s, a typical startup had to go out and raise millions of dollars, you know, $5, $10, $15, or $20 million, just so that they could go and buy the servers that they would need to host their applications so that people could come and find their services on the web. It's now possible to raise $100,000 or $200,000, and if you're willing to, you know, eat ramen, as they say, for a couple of years, that's enough money to actually make real progress.
In a shared house in Atherton, California, filled with founders working on startups of their own, is Black Box Ventures. Their project, called the Startup Genome, aims to turn the prediction of startup success from art to science. Max Marmer and Bjorn Lasse-Hermann are co-founders.
Startups are failing primarily because of self-destruction rather than competition, and we think that's sort of a big insight.
They already know a few things that are bound to lead to failure. A part-time founder, a solo founder, not having the right team mix, not listening to customers, and the biggest reason for 70% of all failures is what they call premature scaling.
A company increases their risk profile by effectively executing the unnecessary, which means that they do things which they have not validated before with their customers.
Black Box's founders gained these insights by gathering data from more than 15,000 startups around the world. The company also realizes the world is catching up when it comes to startup culture.
The Chinese decided to invest massively.
Vivek Wadhwa has come to the same conclusion. He's an entrepreneur turned academic who researches American competitiveness.
What's happening now is that other countries like India and China are learning our secret sauce. They're learning what made America what it is. You've got to realize that kids in Beijing and Bangalore right now have friends in Silicon Valley and North Carolina on Facebook and Twitter. They interact, they exchange ideas, they begin to think like each other.
Wadhwa says accelerator programs are important because they decrease the cost of starting and failing at a business.
In America, failure is considered to be okay. I mean, especially in Silicon Valley. In Silicon Valley, the more you fail, the more experienced you're considered to be. So failure is a badge of honor. People abroad think it's really strange.
How do you grow the business past the single app?
It's still too early to tell which, if any, of these companies will be the next Facebook or Google. But as these investors put their money behind these entrepreneurs and their ideas, one thing is certain, they'll be hiring.